Jeremiah 33, if you want to go there with me. That's a dig at myself. I was actually thinking, you know, one of the things, well, it's a big sidetrack from what we're going to talk about, but hey, I'm good at those. I was thinking about, you know, sometimes one of the things I've always wanted to be is funny. And then I realized quite a few years ago that it just wasn't, you know, there's some people, I've heard people preach, and the whole time they're preaching, you're just laughing. And then they, not because they're telling jokes, just because the way they present their message is engaging and you're just laughing all the time. And I always thought those people were really cool and I wanted to be more like that. And then I realized that I'm not. And so I just had to, you know, you just have to go, okay, that's not me. So stop trying. Yeah? And I think this is a message for a few of us here. You be you. Yeah. Just be yourself. If there's anything that Jesus came to do, he came to show us that he's okay with how you are because he created you the way you are. Amen? And so just be yourself. Don't compare yourself with anyone else. Enjoy the funny people. Laugh at them lots because we need more laughter. Is anyone with me? Yep. It's the coolest thing. I've got some fantastically funny people in my family. And it's really awesome hanging around my family because they just make you laugh. In fact, I don't think we can go 5 minutes without someone doing something funny or saying something funny and end up laughing. And there's something, you know, as a family, we get on really well. And we've had our problems, but I think sometimes just the ability to laugh at stuff and to make life joyful is so such a gift and such an important thing for us to do. And I think potentially this time of life, as we're heading into Christmas, the potential over this next few weeks is everything that's happening in the world around us will suck the joy out of Christmas. Let's not let that happen. Let's make that a commitment not to let that happen. Let's be joyful people. Let's celebrate and enjoy Christmas because it is a fantastic time as we remember Jesus. And that's what my segue into what I'm talking about this morning, because today is the first day of Advent. 28th of November, first day of Advent, which means as of yesterday, it's 4 weeks till Christmas. Woo! Are you all ready? Hope not, because I'm not. Philippa is, but I'm not. So that means I am. Anyway, Jeremiah 33, verse 14. It says there, "The day will come, says the Lord, when I will do for Israel and Judah all the good things I have promised them. In those days and at that time, I will raise up a righteous descendant from King David's line. He will do what is just and right throughout the land. In that day, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this will be its name. The Lord is our righteousness." How many of you know that following Jesus involves a lot of waiting? Anyone? The thing I find about following God is sometimes I expect him to do stuff or I expect things to happen, but they never happen according to my time frames. Is anyone else with me on that one? Yeah. He's always way later than I want him to be. See, one of the things that I think is so important for us in our faith is that we learn to wait and we learn to wait well. Waiting well is a huge gift and a huge thing for us to learn. Because I think most of us today, we're into instant society. We live in a world that is all about as quick as possible, please. It's the amazing thing about drive-through, right? You can drive up, you can 5 minutes, you're out of there, you've got all your food. And it's such a privilege. You know, I remember on some of my trips into developing countries and the idea of fast food that you drive up to a window and you get given a package, prepackaged food and then drive away is just, for some of them, it's like, what? Because for them, the meal that they have, they sometimes have one meal a day and that's spent all day preparing that because they're over an open fire. And yet for us, we get impatient when our coffee takes 15 minutes instead of 10 to arrive at our table. When we're at a cafe. And that runs off into our faith sometimes. I think what we experience in our world runs into our faith is we're not very good at waiting. And one of the things about Advent is this idea of waiting. See, this passage talks about this idea that Jeremiah was saying to the people, in the future this is going to happen, but you're going to need to wait. You're going to need to endure. You're going to need to continue to hang on to the hope, to the promise. That hasn't come about yet, but will come about because I'm the God who will perform my promises. You know, the first line it says, there is a day when every single one of my promises to you will be performed. But it's in the future. And you know, one of the things that I think as we lead into Advent, it's so important for us to realize is part of our faith is actually God has designed it so that we have to wait. Because it's actually good for us to wait. It's actually important for us to wait. To learn to be patient, to live with expectancy, but waiting with expectancy. See, there's a difference between waiting and getting bored and doing nothing, and waiting with a hope of what is to come. How many of you have ever gone to a train station or a bus station or to the airport waiting for a close friend or family members to return from a trip anywhere? Has anyone... Most of you have probably done that. You go and you wait. I remember at the airport, it's the international arrivals in Auckland in particular. This is probably the biggest one. I've done it also in Wellington, but Auckland's so cool. In fact, it's almost awesome just to go and sit and watch people waiting. And then when someone walks through the door and the reaction that you see on people's faces and the celebration and the excitement about what I've hoped for, what I've been waiting for, has walked through the door, is something to behold. And I think that's this idea that God's wanting us to be people that aren't just sitting back going, oh, why doesn't he just do it? I remember a few years ago, about 5 years ago, we went into a process for purchase of this property. And that was a bit of a journey. I'm not going to go the whole story at the moment, but you know, has anyone heard the statement, God's never late, he's always just on time? I just want to debate that. He was late. He was. For all intents and purposes, he was late. We had a contract to purchase a property and to pay our money on X date, and he didn't come through on that date. So this is not a story about God coming through at the 11th hour. He came through at 4 o'clock in the morning. Wasn't it midnight? It was 4 o'clock in the morning. He came through, but it was way later than I expected. Because every story I'd heard from every pastor prior about property purchase was always that God came through at 11:59 p.m., just before midnight. And I want to say that's a true story for them, but for me it wasn't. And it was really unhelpful when I got to 12:01. Have you ever been waiting at an airport and the person you were expecting never arrived? Has anyone ever experienced that? I've had it happen once. And the other worst occasion was when I arrived at an airport and the person who was meant to be meeting me didn't meet me. And that was in Indonesia. And I don't know I know a little bit of Indonesian, but not very much. And the person I was meant to meet didn't meet me. But there's this moment where our expectations, often we can expect something in God in our waiting. We're expectant of what God's going to do. Often that expectation even comes with strings attached. You know, we're expecting him to do this, but in our heart we're going, okay, this is what it's going to look like. This is what the timing's going to be. And when he doesn't quite do it the way we want to, we get disappointed. Sometimes we even get to a point where I know people in my world who actually disappointment and they have been waiting for God to do something, and it's actually begun to affect their faith and their ability to trust God in their everyday life. because he hasn't come through in that area. And I've been expectant and I've been patient and I've been waiting. You know, Jeremiah wrote this about 400 years, between 400 and 600 years before Jesus came. So just think about that for a second. Jeremiah wrote this promise. The declaration of it is about the coming of the Son, the Messiah. It's a prophetic declaration about the Messiah coming. And he says it at one point, and then the fulfillment of it doesn't take place for anywhere between 400 and 600 years, depending on which scholar you read about. And you go, that's a lot of waiting. And there were a lot of people who died hoping for the Messiah and never saw it. And you know, when it came to that property purchase, it came to a point at 1201 where I said, actually, God, we believe as a team that you've given us this property. It's our inheritance. And so whether you show up at 1159 or 1201, or maybe you never show up in the way that I expect, I'm actually okay with that, because in the end, I trust you more than I trust the outcomes in my life. And that's a massive thing. I mean, that cost God a lot of money. Because he was 4 weeks late. That cost him a lot of money because there were penalty fees. And I go, well, God, that's your money. You shouldn't waste it like that, really. But I look at where we're at now and I go, God, 80 grand. I mean, I can say that. I wouldn't encourage you to waste 80 grand. But God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And he's able to do exceedingly abundantly. And I'm going to trust his character before I trust what I expect the outcome's going to be. And as we come into Advent, you know, it's an invitation for us to step into an environment and to remember the waiting. And to remember in the waiting that it's how you wait that's important. It's how you wait that's important. I want to read, I'm going to skip the Psalm passage, Isabella, and go straight to Romans. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 to 5. And it says there, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with love. You know, the waiting process is actually meant to develop hope. If you wait well, it will develop endurance. That will develop strength of character, which will increase our hope. So the waiting is to be something where we're not expecting an outcome. We're expecting God to develop something internally with us. See, often our waiting is because we're waiting for God to do something for us. And God's waiting is because he wants to develop something in us. The whole waiting was about God wanting to change our character and transform us and strengthen us so that we're able to live through the trials and tribulations of life with hope, with a trust in who he is. Not in what the outcome is, but because I've discovered that his love for me holds me secure no matter what the outcome is. See, waiting is about what he's trying to do in us. Isaiah 40 verse 31 says, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. There's this idea that it's not about the outcome. See, I look at the people of Israel and I say 600 years of waiting for Messiah. And even then some of them missed it and they're still waiting. And we're talking 2,500 years since then, and they're still waiting. And they're still waiting with endurance, with hope, because they, in the end, are trusting, and understand my heart is that they're trusting in the character of God, that he will fulfill his promise. Even though they've missed it, they're still trusting 2.5 years later, 2,500 years later. And I go, sometimes we get stuck after 25 minutes of waiting. And we've got to remember, God is about developing something on the inside. God is not our Santa Claus. God is not our Santa Claus where we come with our wish list and we say, God, this is what I need from you. God is our Father who loves us. And yes, he wants us to present our requests to him with boldness. But without the strings attached of an expectation of a particular outcome, we lean into the fact that he's God and he loves us. And because of his love, I can trust him for whatever the outcome is because he knows what's best for me. But it's about in the waiting that I wait well. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 9, and this is Paul writing, and he writes, how we thank God for you, because of you we have great joy as we enter God's presence. Night and day we pray earnestly for you, asking God to let us see you again to fill the gaps in your faith. May the God of our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ bring us to you very soon. And may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow, just as our love for you overflows. May he, as a result, make your heart strong and blameless and holy as you stand before God our Father when the Lord Jesus comes again with all his holy people. He was writing this with this expectation that Jesus was coming again, but in that process, there was an invitation to grow in love, to grow in the internal work that God was wanting to do in the people of Thessalonica's hearts. It was never about an outcome in terms of a physical outcome. It was about what God was trying to build in them. And as we come to Christmas, the whole point of Jesus' coming and this time of Advent and waiting is to again reflect on the waiting that we have. One, Jesus has come, yes, amen, but he's coming again. And we wait with confident expectation that one day the Lord Jesus will return. But in the meantime, I'm going to let him do what he wants to do in my heart. I'm going to grow in love. I'm going to grow in strength of character. I'm going to wait well while I'm waiting for all that he has for me. See, waiting is not a passive thing. It's an active thing. It's something that we have to stir our hearts towards. I want to experience all that God's got for me. I want to taste and see that he is good. I want to know the love of God that surpasses all understanding. But I don't just want to know it so that I feel good. I want to know it because when I know the love of God, I can choose to be myself. I don't have to be funny. I don't have to make people laugh in my messages. I don't have to be someone I'm not because I know God loves me just the way I am. And you know, the biggest thing that I think people in our world need at the moment is people who are confident in who they are and who God's created them to be. You know, our young people and our children growing up, they need adults who are confident in who they are around them, who are bringing out the identity of Christ in their own lives, but also encouraging our young people and our kids to grow in their identity in Christ. That comes when we know the love of God. And that comes through a process of waiting. I hate to say it. Doesn't happen. Talk to anyone with grey hair in the room who's been following Jesus for a long time, and they will tell you that the work of God takes time. Sometimes way longer than they want it to. That is a normal part of the journey of faith of following Jesus, is waiting. Let's be people who wait well. Amen? Let's pray. God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you as we head into Advent, as we head into this Christmas time, that it's a time of great joy. Because we know, Jesus, you came as a baby. You came as a baby to say to humanity, you're all good. I love you. And you came to show us how much you loved us by ultimately dying on the cross for us. And God, we just take a moment to acknowledge that. And God, we want you to help us. We ask you to help us that in this time as we lead into Advent, God, that we would reflect again on the things that we're waiting for, the promises that we're holding on to in you. And God, that we would look at those and go, yes and amen in Jesus. But as we wait, we would allow you to develop the character of hope, the strength of character in our own hearts, the experience of your love in us, that no matter what the outcome, we know that you're a God that's trustworthy, that we can place our hope in you, that we can lean into you no matter what's going on around us, and we can wait well. God, I pray for every person in this room this morning that as we move into this Christmas time, that you would encounter them with a fresh understanding of who you are to them, fresh understanding of how much you love us, that when we hear or we taste and experience the love of God, that something jumps in our spirit because we know we're loved by the Creator of the universe. And we're loved just as we are. God, we just honor you today. We thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. And we bless you. Amen.